Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara, 9 lines from the top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. So we just discussed the Mishnah, so the Gemara is quoting, we had all the different siurim of a woman who can marry a Levi, marry a Kohen. So we're going to discuss over here, the Gemara says, in the case of the Mishnah, when we said, Meiz Benam Levi Teichel B'Truma, if her son from the Levi dies, she is allowed to go back and eat Truma based on the son of the Kohen. So says the Gemara, Dehadra Acha Mishum Bena. The Lachor, this law is based on the fact that the son of the Kohen, Minalan, where are we going to know this? Meaning, again, she was a Bas Yisrael, who was originally Usher to eat Truma, Pashut, right? Then she marries a Kohen, so then through Nisuin, and she's allowed to eat Truma, Kid in Kaspo. She's allowed to eat Truma. Then she has a son from the Kohen, so if that husband dies, so then she is allowed to eat on account of the son. Then she marries the Levi, and that would ruin, even though she has the son as a Kohen, that would ruin her ability to eat Truma. And she then has a son with the Levi. If then the Levi and his son die, she goes back to the fact that her son from the original Kohen is alive. She was married 3 times again in their situation. Or no, she was married 3 times, married 2 times. And the fact that she has this Kohen son would then re-enable her to eat Truma. So says the Gemara, where do I know this particular halacha? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav, Bas, Ubas. We learn it from the fact that the Pasuk says, Ubas Kohen Kisya Almana Ugrusha Vezera Inla, the Pasuk over there that says, Ubas Kohen. Now why is that the extra Vav? The extra Vav, Lachor, is completely extra. So we can learn from the extra Vav that's teaching us, Ubas Kohen, that the fact that she has the right to eat Truma. So says the Gemara, Kaman, who is this halacha going to be, like the Gemara says, meaning who is Dorish's extra Vav? That must be the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, the Dorish Vaved. The Gemara Machlokas quotes Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva about this. The Gemara is assuming that we must be assuming, like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that assumes that we are Dorish Vav, because he says that this woman would be allowed because of Ubas Kohen. There's another example of a lady who is, could be considered like an Ubas Kohen, who's allowed to eat Truma. That's an example of someone who has a child from a Kohen, who is then remarried somebody else, has a child with them. If those persons she marries and that subsequent child die, then she'd be allowed to eat Truma. Says the Gemara, Filo Tev Rabbanan, no, you could even say that our mission is going to be like the Rabbanan, meaning Rabbi Ishmael and those who argue with Rabbi Kiva. Kula Ubas Krayasirahi. The whole extra Ubas is extra, as Rashi points out, because the Pasuk before says, Ubas Kohen Kisiel Izar, and afterwards it says, Ubas Kohen Kisiel Mano. So Rashi says you could have just written, V'chisie Almana Ugrusha. It doesn't have to say Ubas Kohen Dien Almana Ugrusha, because the Pasuk before was talking about the same situation of Ubas Kohen. I know that we're talking about Ubas Kohen, so clearly that's what we're talking about. So the fact that the Torah says Ubas Kohen with the extra Vav is going to teach you this halacha, that if she has a child, she would go back, and therefore, it would be even according to the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Vaitar Tanu Rabba, we learn in Abraisa, Kshi Chozeres, when the Kohen's daughter goes back to her father's house, she's only Chozeres L'Truma. She's, meaning, when now we're talking about a Bas Kohen who marries her Yisrael, or a Levi. So she's no longer allowed entitled to Truma at the moment she gets, even by Irisin. So once she gets married to the husband, she's no longer allowed to eat Truma. So now, what happens if this guy dies? The halacha is, she's allowed to go back to eat Truma because of Vezera Einla. So the Gemara now is expounding that she's only chazeres l'truma, v'ena chazeres l'chazei v'shok, but she did not go to the lachas of literally eating the breast and the thigh. Those are talking about the korbanos, the kachei kalem, which are allowed to be eaten, shlamim, let's say, which is eaten. The chazei v'shok is eaten by the kohanim, so even the woman kohanim, the women who are married to a kohen, would be entitled to eat that also. Their husbands can provide them with that food, obviously provided that they're tahor. However, the lacha is that she is not entitled to go back to chazei v'shok. She's not entitled to go only for truma. So the Gemara, how do I know this? Amar Chista, Amar Avina Bar Shila. What's the pasuk that indicates this halacha? He betrumas hakadoshim lo yisoichel. That if you have the case of a bas kohen, v'tziel ishar, she marries a non kohen, she is not allowed to eat from kachim. So says Gemara, we're going to have a drasha b'mora min hakachim lo yisoichel. That means she's not allowed to eat from which is separated from the kachim, meaning that which is taken from the kachim, mina kachim, she's not allowed to eat. As Rashi expounds, chazei v'shok, because the pasuk could have just written because of v'chumas lemora mudasav. Therefore, Rashi says that it could have just said v'kachim lo socha. Why does it say the lashon of Betruma sagadashim lo sochel, that specifically only truma she's allowed to go back to, and not kachim she's allowed to go back to, and therefore that's what we're learning from this drasha over here, and therefore she's not allowed to go back to eat kachim. Says the Gemara of Rav Nachman of Rav Ravua, mi lechem, the lashon of from the bread, velo kol lechem, not all the bread, not all the food that he has. Prat lechazei v'shok, this is excluding the chazei v'shok of the korbanos. Says the Gemara maskif l'Rav Barchama, the Gemara doesn't like this answer because ima prat lafars dar, maybe this is telling you that it's excluded that she's returning to her father's house, but he is not allowed to be mefer nedarim. The lacha is that the husband is mefer, the lacha is that a woman before the age of bas mitzvah, then, but she knows how to make a neder, even from their age of nairus till 12 and a half, the father is allowed to annul her vows. He's allowed to mefer the nedarim, because whatever the Torah enables her to eat it, to remove the vows. So now, what's the halacha with regards to the husband? The husband, once the husband gets married to her, so then also he takes over as lot to being annulling the vows. So what I've said that, oh, if one, but once you look to the age of Nisuin, she's already gone for the father's house. So now I would have thought that maybe if she gets divorced or if the husband dies, that she goes back to Afar Sadarim, she would be allowed, that the father goes back to the power to be able to annul her vows. So says Gemara Rava, for Pascha Tanav Ishmael, but we already learned this in a brisa on the name of Rabbi Ishmael, the Tanav Rabbi Ishmael, we learn that in regards to the halacha of Nedarim, Nedar Amana Grusha Yakum Aleha, the Pasuk says that if you have a vow of a widow or divorcee, that should be binding upon her, meaning she's allowed to make her own Nedarim and no one is allowed to annul them. So Rabbi Shmuel is bad at this in the Braisa. Ma tamulomar, what is this coming to teach us? Lechora velo mutzim miklala, mutzim miklala. Why in the world would I think in this situation that anybody would be allowed to annul her vows? If she was married previously to another husband, so that husband had the right to annul her vows, but the moment she gets divorced from that same husband, there no longer is any annulment that is allowed to go back, because the moment she left her father's rishus, what right would I think that the father then would regain control of her vows? Clearly, she's not. Once he lost her shus, it doesn't go back to him. So therefore, there's no havamina that the husband should be able, because he's divorced or he died, so both those cases are pretty pasha, that he no longer is able to annul the vows. And the fact that the father also is pasha, because if she had gone through nisuin, she left the father's rishus and gone, so there should be no havamina that he should be allowed to annul the vows. Ella, rather, we must be talking about a case, Haresha Masar Av L'Shluchei Abal. It must be that the chiddush of this pasuk, meaning because the pasuk is so pashut, if we're talking about that case, rather, it must be a case where there was a quasi nisuin. We know that if there's an erusin, the father is still allowed to annul the vows. Really, the father has to annul it together with the baal. That's the psukim and chumash talk about the beferish. So what happens if the baal dies or subsequently divorces her? So then in that case, shitaka goes back to her father's being able to annul her, the vow. So what about in this situation where they didn't do a full-fledged nisuin yet? If the father of the kala delivered them to the shluchei baal, o shemasu shluchei av the shluchei baal, or if the father's shluchim send them to the agents of the shluchei of the husband, means arbo niskarshin, on the way, the husband changed his mind, decided he wanted to divorce her, and he didn't see her, and so they didn't really do a full nisuin yet, but she still left the reshus of the father to go to the husband, or the husband died. Hayachani Koraba, what pasuk could have been said? Beis Avia Shuzu, having left her father's household, but she was not in the reshus of the husband yet. Oh, Beis Baila Shuzu, or maybe she's still or she is in her house, or house of the husband. So therefore, since it's unclear, because you didn't do a full-fledged nisuin in this case, that much of this pasuk is talking about. Since she really left, even though she didn't do a full nisuin yet, but she left the reshus, the jurisdiction of the father, even for this one moment, shuv we learn from there that that's the chiddush of this pasuk. But really, had it been the fact that it was a full-fledged nisuin, that would not need to be mentioned. That's pashut, that at the end of the day, the father would have never regained control of being able to annul the vow. So that's why it can't be talking about that. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to discuss more psukim that are discussing the fact that a bas kohen may go back to itruma, but not the chazei v'shok. Rav Safra amar milechem avia soichel. She may eat from the bread of her father. Lechem velo basar. Specifically bread, but not meat. Meat is going to be, the bread is usually referred to truma and things of the like that are going to be truma. That's the whole side. That's machlokas rishonim. What is going to be truma midoraisa? There's three different shitas. There's dagan tiros v'yitzar, right? Oil, wine, and grain. Those are deraisa, according to Ben Rishonim. That's the shita of Tosfos throughout Shas. And there are the other shitas that say that truma is going to be all the peros. That's the shita of the Rambam, if I remember correctly. The Rambam holds that all peros ha'ilan are going to be truma deraisa, are going to be subject to maaser truma, so maaser is on level deraisa. And there's the third shita, that of the Shiva Saminim. I think it's the Meiri. It says the Shiva Saminim Berchai of Midoresa in Truma and not the other one. So anyway, so Lechem definitely is not the pasuk. Lechem is according to everybody, is going to be Midoresa, is going to be Chayev in Truma. So now, so the father like says lechem, so the bread is going to be implying Truma. Basar, though, everybody agrees is not chayav in Truma. So therefore, that's referring to basar eating meat of the korbanos. So this says the Gemara now, lechem avia lechem so this refers to again lechem v'lo basar. Papa amar melechem avia toicha. She may eat from the bread of her father. Lechem akone avia, the bread which belongs to her father, meaning only truma, which is a personal property that's given to him. Prala chazev ashok, that's not considered his. What is it? The fact that he has the right to eat it. The mishulchan kavo ka'asu, that kilu hakadosh baruch hu is kaviyachol giving them. Unlike truma, it is something which is hektesh, which is then allotted to the kohanim. That from Hashem, that means they're still considered hektesh, right? Obviously, they're still considered hektesh. They have to eat it. It's mitzvah to eat it. That would not be the case with regards to truma. V'rav amar ve'es chazei atnufa ve'es shoka truma tochlo. And the pasuk continues, ata uvanecha uvnosecha itach, and also your daughters who are with you, bisman shitach, only when they are with you, so long as they're with you, to exclude a case where they had at one point not been with you at any point, they're no longer considered with you, and they can no longer eat truma. Says the Gemara, Amar Avada Barava, Tana, we learn in a braisa, kshich chazeres laveis avia. When the Bas Kohen returns to her father's house, chazeres la truma veina chazeres la chazev ishok, bishvil bina chazeres af la chazev ishok. This here is a big chiddush. If you have a Yisrael's daughter who, in this case, if you have Yisrael's daughter who goes, she's allowed to eat truma on the account of her son of the Kohen, she'd return even to the case of the Chazei Vishok. Meaning if Yisrael's daughter marries a Kohen and has a son, and then she becomes a widow and then marries somebody else, she marries Yisrael or some other person, so she has this Kohen son. But she's not allowed to eat truma anymore, as I mentioned, because that's the case that we discussed at the beginning of the Gemara. That's the case where she loses that right the moment she gets remarried to somebody else. But what if that person dies, they don't have any children? Or if even they had children, they both die, the child dies and that person dies. So in that case, she goes back to being allowed to eat truma. So over here, Avada Barava is Mechadish, not only is she allowed to go back to truma, she's stronger than the previous case. She, in fact, is allowed to go back and even eat from kachim, something that was not given to the right of a bas kohen. But here, that's a fascinating thing. This would be allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara now, Azor of Mordechai, and Mordechai, what? Amr the Shemaitim Kameh Ravashi said this Chiddush before Ravashi. Amar of Mordechai said, Mehecha Kamisrabe. So, from where is this halacha learned that a mother of a kohen is allowed to eat truma? Mi ubas, lashed ubas, ubas kohen. Mi adif alemine. So then why should a kohen's, should a case of a kohen's mother be more chashuv than the kohen's daughter? Meaning, a bas kohen who goes back to her father's house, who doesn't have any children, is not allowed to eat chazev ashok. But a woman is a Yisraelis, who is going to be learned out from there that she's allowed to go back, she's allowed to eat on the count of the child. She is going to be considered stronger and she's allowed to eat the chazev ashok. Why should that be? So Gemara says, because Ravashi explained, that in the case of the Kohen's daughter, there is a specific exclusion from the fact that all the different Amorim, the different Shitas that we had, what exactly the exclusion was, but all the different Sukkim, either it was, right, Lechem Velo Basar, or Lechem Akon Lavia, or the case that we had before, that the case of the Pasuk of, those three drushas, whatever the one that is going to be, but definitely there is a drusha to be excluding this woman specifically from there, as opposed to the case of a Bas Yisrael, who that was married to a Kohen, who has a child from him. There is no exclusion there in the Pasuk, so therefore there's no reason to assume she should not be allowed to eat Chazei Vishok. That's the reason. Really, she doesn't necessarily have a stronger yichus to being a Kohen. She's not. She's a Bas Yisrael. But the fact that the Torah never excludes her, so then she's allowed to eat it. It's a fascinating halacha where we could have a Bas Yisrael who's a stronger level Kohen than an actual Bas Kohen. It's one of those trivia questions you could ask. Where do we have this halacha? It's a fascinating halacha. So now the Mishnah also says, Bas Kohen Shenis Yisrael. If you have a daughter of a Kohen who marries Yisrael, she's no longer allowed to eat truma if he dies. If she has a child from him, she's also not allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Veshavel Beis Avia. Pasuk says she returned to the father's house. Prat l'shomeres yavan. This is excluding a woman who's waiting yibum, who is not yet free to return to his father's house. Meaning, even if she didn't have any children, so obviously she didn't have any children because otherwise she wouldn't be chayvin yibum. So she had no children. So she's going to be chazeres. But no, there's still the zika of the yavam. So then she would not be allowed to be eating truma yet. Kinu ureya. The pasuk says, as in her youth. Prat l'mubaris is teaching you that she has to be like she was when she left the father's house, just like she left the father's house, not obviously in a state of pregnancy, because she wasn't married yet. So therefore, pashut, that when she comes back, she also cannot be pregnant, and that would, therefore, she would no longer, she would not be allowed to eat truma in that case. So says the Gemara now, v'alo dina, but l'chor we could say it's a kava chomer, that a widowed Kohen's daughter is not allowed to eating truma if she's pregnant. What can we say? Ma b'makom shalosa v'lad min arishon k'vlad min hasheni, in a place where the Torah didn't make the widow's child from the first husband similar to the widow's child in the second husband, l'poshur b'niyum, meaning if this girl, Sarah, marries Reuven, and they have a child, and then he dies. Then she marries Shimon, and he doesn't have any children. The halacha is that she has to do yibum with Shimon's brothers. So asa ubar kiyalot, so nevertheless made a fetus equivalent to a case of a born child. That the Torah exempts a woman from yibum, not only if she actually bore her husband a child, but even if she merely is pregnant with a child. That's just learned out from the stipulation, the words of ven einlo. The word is einlo, we learn out ayinalav, that even if she's pregnant, she's going to pater from yibum. We have to wait to see that he's able to live 30 days, as we saw earlier in the Gemara's, right, in the Lamids, we saw that those whole sugyas, but that would be something that would be the case. So we saw over kiyulad, Malcolm Shasa Vlad Minarish and Kavlad Minashini, in a place where the Torah did make a widow's child from her first husband equivalent to the child from the second husband, Laposlam and a Chuma, with respect to disqualifying her from Chuma, meaning if you have a Kohen's daughter, so she lost her first husband who was Israel after having born him a child, and then she married another Israel who later died childless. It remains usher for her to eat Chuma, even though the second husband died without any children. The fact that we have a Zera Inla teaches you that she has no offspring. If she has offspring from the first marriage, she still would not be allowed to have Chuma. So we see from over here that the lach is that Eno Din Shanasa Uber Kielot, so it doesn't make sense that we should say that the fetus should be like a born child in that case. The Bryce is arguing that we should know that a widow is not exempted from the requirements of Yibum if she has a child from a previous marriage. Yet, an unborn fetus from her second husband is sufficient to exempt her. So the Chora, we can understand that it should make sense that a widowed Kohen's daughter who is puzzled from eating Chuma if she has a child with the previous marriage should also likewise be disqualified if she's pregnant. Why do I need the Pasuk? That's all Shaila. Why do I need Kinurei to teach us this halacha? So says the Gemara, no, I need the Pasuk because I would have thought the following. Mali Asr Uber Kielot Le'inan Yibum. In what halacha, what significance the Torah says that the fetus is equivalent to a born child? Regards to Pater from Yibum. Shari Asa Mesim Kekhaim. There we see that the dead person is equivalent to a living person. What halacha? That a woman whose husband died with a surviving child is permanently exempt from Yibum even after, if that child would subsequently die, she's permanently pater from Yibum. The halacha is only when he died, if he didn't have any children, then we were going to say that there's shayach to Yibum. But if they have any child who subsequently dies, they're never going to be shayach to Yibum after that point. So we say there that it's permanently done, the bits of Yibum. Nasi ubar kiyalda le'inyan truma. So there, we're going to make a fetus equivalent to a born child with respect to Truma, where Shalosa Mesim B'chaim, that specifically the dead person is not always meaning going to be able to hold it, that a Kohen's daughter married Yisrael, who had a child, this guy dies, husband dies, if the child typically dies 10, 15 years later, that was the only child they had from him, she'd be allowed to go back and eat Truma. So clearly we see that the halacha is different. Talmud Lomar, that's why I need, because I wouldn't have learned the two halachas from one another. I can't use the Kama Chomer just mentioned because of this rejection. Proud Lemu Baris, that I need the Pasuk to teach you, the Kinu Ureya, to exclude a pregnant woman. Okay, so what came out from over here, that a Kohen's daughter has the right to go back eating Truma, if you have the Pasuk of she doesn't have any children. Now we learn from Zera Einla, which teaches us that she does not have any offspring or even pregnant, or kinureya, it has to be that, again, that even if she's just pregnant. We also have a zera einlan, she has no offspring, which is indicating that she doesn't have any offspring, a child that is already born. So why don't I need both psukim? So that's the question of the Gemara. Again, we have Vizera Inla, seemingly she has no children, but the Kinureya is a bigger Kiddush. Even if she's pregnant, we're saying that then she's not allowed to eat Truma yet. So Pashut, then if she doesn't have children also, meaning what's the Vizera Inla necessary for? So says the Gemara, we need both, because Itzrech Lamichta Me'uberes, Vitzrech Lamichta Vizera Inla. I need to teach you both Psukim. Why? Because Ikhaz Rechmana Vizera Inla, if it had just told me that she has no offspring, so I would have thought the following. I would have thought, make her a Chad Gufa Vashta Trey Gufa, because originally when she left her father's house, she was only one, and now she is herself and her child, just different people of a Mubaris, but I would have thought that regards to a pregnant woman to be Karachad Gufa Vahashta Gufa, she's only one and she's still pregnant, but she's still one person. It's considered like the Uber is one entity with the mother. So it's not considered you have another person over here. She would be allowed to eat Truma. Maybe once this child was born, maybe then she should be puzzled. But while she's pregnant, I should say puzzled, she's allowed to eat Truma. So it says the Gemara, Imatecha, I would have said that she's allowed to eat Truma, as we just fleshed out. Tzricha, that's why the Torah needs to tell you both. Hi, just say the other end though, V'ikaz Rechman of a Beres, but just teach the case about a pregnant woman, so then teach the case, and I'll say Kol Shekin, anytime she doesn't have any children, Pashut, she's gonna be, if she has children, she's gonna be Pashut, she's not gonna be Mutter to eat Truma. So the Gemara says, no, because the Mikara Gufa, I would have said, turning out the next time, Tzricha Vasha Gufa Maya, her stomach literally was empty, and now her body is full. Avalzera Elam, with regards to, if she has no offspring, whether the woman already has given birth, Demikara Gufa Srika Vashta Gufa Srika. She is not pregnant right now. Imala, I would have said that that's not the case. Maybe she's allowed to eat Truma in that circumstance. Srika. I don't know. I find this a little bit difficult. What? The fact that she's not pregnant now, but she has another child. So I don't understand why that's not a Kava Chomer. Meaning we're saying that her bodily system, Kinureya, is going to be very similar to the Joshua of Kinureya. Mamash has to be like that. And if it would just be Vizera Inla, I would have said that maybe I don't understand why it was, I don't understand the second sign as much. I'm still bothered by this a little bit. But Batsim, that's what the Gemara is trying to teach us at this point. Okay. We have a mnemonic now. How to remember the hemshech of the Gemara. Now, siman amar leh, nase, vit nase, b'miso nase, v'lo nase, b'vlad, yibum u'tshuma, yibum u'tshuma, siman. That is the mnemonic to help you remember this. So it says the Gemara. We quoted before the Braisa. We said in Amud Aleph, we had a Braisa telling us halacha is about knowing the widow's offspring from preventing her from yibum to disqualify her being in tshuva. So the Gemara now discusses different points to this. Amar le Rav Yudah Meiskter le Rava, from Diskter from Rava. Lo da'asa meisim kichayim le'in and yibum bekal v'chomer. Why don't we say that the person is not going to be similar to the exception of yibum based on the kal v'chomer argument? The Gemara is questioning the fact that we said the surviving child would permanently free his mother from yibum. Maybe taka only while he's alive. So says the Gemara, what would I have said? If in a place where the Torah tells us that the widow's child from her first husband is equivalent to a child from her second husband, with regards to disqualify her from eating tshuma, it nevertheless says that we don't make the deceased person equivalent to the living one. In a place where the Torah does not make the widow's child from her first husband equivalent to the child from her second husband, shouldn't the halacha be a kal v'chomer that the deceased offspring should not be equivalent to the living offspring? Meaning, the kal v'chomer shouldn't in fact tell you this halacha. The taka, we should have said that when this son is alive, I would have told you, oh, that's when she's not chayav yibum. But if the son dies 20 years later, then ain't a chanamit, she should be chayav yibum. So the parashah says, Darachad Echanam Chosev Hashalom, we use this pasuk a few times to teach us that there can't be doors the way we have a half minute to it based on the kal v'chomer and one of the other Gemara Midos, that the Torah's ways are pleasant. And she would never be able to get remarried because the husband would never be okay with that. That potentially they would have to, I don't know, get divorced, have a chalitza from this other guy, which would be very repulsive to the husband and lead to major shalom bias issues. Because all the while that child is alive, that's fine. But if the child ever died, there would be a concern, a strain on this marriage with her new husband, and we don't want that to happen. So therefore, we say that based on the derech hadechanom. So now we've just proved that the child exempts the mother from yibum even after his death. So the Gemara is analyzing why this is true of a child who disqualifies his mother from eating truma. So why don't we just say, let's make the dead offspring equivalent to a living offspring with the purposes of truma on the kal v'chomer. Meaning over here, we should say that a Kohen's daughter remains unfit to eat truma. The Kohen's daughter remains unfit to eat truma, even if the offspring had originally disqualified her and then subsequently died. What we could say, if in a place where the Torah does not make a widow's child from her first husband go to the second child, the poacher in a yibum in regards to accepting it from yibum, as you know, it doesn't pass from yibum, also makes him chayim, nevertheless makes the dead like the living. In a place where the Torah did make the child equivalent to a child's second husband, the poacher in a truma, in order to pass from eating truma, ain't a din shenasa makes him chayim, again, or an example where she has two husbands who are Israelin. She has a child from the first one, and then a child from the second one, and the second one dies with the child, so she's not allowed to go back to Truma. So we should say, shouldn't we say that the dead person should be equivalent to the living offspring in this example also, in which case she should be puzzled from eating Truma even after he dies? The Pasuk says she has no offspring, and she has no children. Here, Shitaka doesn't have any children, therefore the Pasuk teaches you that that would be the situation over here. Why don't we tell us that a widow's child from the first husband is equivalent to a child of a second husband for the purpose of even based on the kal v'chomer? In a place where the Torah does not make a widow's deceased offspring equivalent to the living one, with regards to truma, that we say that nevertheless the child from the first husband is equivalent to from her second husband, in a place where the deceased is going to be like the living, in regards to the yibum exception, that the equivalent to the child from the second one should be to the first. At the end of the day, there is no child, and therefore the widow is subject to the lachas of yibum. Final question: let's not make the widow's child from her first husband equivalent to a child of her second husband for purposes of truma on account of the kal v'chomer, meaning over here that the children born to the Kohen's daughter during her first marriage should not prevent her from eating truma. If the second husband died, maybe she should be allowed to eat truma. What could I say? In the place where the Torah says the widow's deceased is going to be not, is like kechayim lepochim and yibum to exempt her from yibum. Lo asav lab minarishon kivlar minasheni. Nevertheless, you have to do yibum with the second husband. Malcolm shalasa meisim kechayim in a place where the Torah does not make it equivalent to the living offspring. Lina and truma ain't a din shalona asav lab minarishon kivlar minasheni. Tamalomar ain't la. The pasuk says ain't la, which teaches you veha yeshla. She does have from her first husband. She may not go back to eat truma. That's what we learn from the Jacha. Ain't we had three different Joshas. Hajjalach Yesh Musaras, Hajjalach Yesh Musaras, Hajjalach Yesh Musaras. Okay, so now we're up to Mishnah dealing with a woman who remarried based on the fact that there was Edim, that her husband had died, but not necessarily once. So the Gemara, Ha'isha Shalach Vaylov Minasayam, a case where her husband went away. So back then, right, there was very few means of communication. So Vav Ramela Meis Balech, but they told her that her husband had died. So now the Gemara is going to end up saying that this is talking about a case where it was only one witness who said this. Benisa says that she got remarried based on this one witness. V'achakach Ba Baila, then her husband come back. Oh, she is in trouble. She got married. Teitzim Yizayim says she has to divorce both people that she is with. In this case, we know that a woman who willingly commits adultery is considered a sota, who's asir labayla. So now, in this case, if the case was ones, where the man is her, it was a shogig, but in those examples, she's not asir labayla. If she's not an Eishes Kohen, if she's an Eishes Yisrael, she would not be asir labayla. So over here, we have a din to Rabbanan, that Rabbanan go further in the halacha, that she's not, now Pasha, the second husband, is not nothing. There was no kiddush, it wasn't chal. He was never married to her, and every bia that she was having, it was shogig, but it was considered bia's nus. So Pasha, she's not allowed to be with him. But the first husband, Lachora, she was ones, she was shogig. So that's the point that we're going to see based on the Hamshach of the Gemara, on Daf Peches, tomorrow Daf, that really, that there's a concept called Isha Daika Mitzvah, that a woman is careful when she is getting married. The woman is careful when she gets married, that she should be checking into the situation. If you only have one witness, she should be checking very carefully to make sure her husband taka died. We're assuming she's going to do her own investigation. Here, we assume she didn't do a proper investigation, so the Rabbanan penalized her by saying that she's not even allowed to be with her first husband, and all the rest of the halachas are going to be a penalty. Both of them need to get, just to show that both of them, that she's the divorcing man, meaning, if she wants to marry somebody else, she would need to get a get, even from the second one. Vein la ksuba, but she doesn't even get a ksuba. That's only usually a sota loses her ksuba. Here, she's losing the chiddush. The second husband is pasha, she loses a ksuba. But the first husband, she loses a ksuba, the manim asayim. Velo peros. Peros are the is referring to the nechsem melug. That's always referring to nechsem melug. What over here does mean nechsem melug? That here, that if she went into the second marriage and she brought in a nechsem melug property, so it comes out that the husband was not allowed to be enjoying this property the whole time. Because he really wasn't supposed to, the whole chiv of him being able to bring her back into and be able to marry her was part of the redemption process. That was zet hachazeh based on the Gemara Ksubas. So here, he's not able to bring her back because he was never married her. So therefore it comes out that he ate nechsem melug be'isr. So normally in a circumstance where he did that, he would have to pay her for all the while. Let's say they're married 3-4 years. So he would have to pay the 3-4 years worth of fruits that he ate. But since, again, we penalize her, she does not get that money. Velo mazonos, she does not get, if she borrowed money to support herself while the first husband left, she loses that money also. That based on Rashi, that's what this case is talking about. Velo blos, and neither the worn-out garments, that's we had discussed that blos before, that she brought a nechset toner barzel. She gave him a nice suit, nechset toner barzel. So that means that he has to pay the value of the suit right now. He evaluates it at $150. So even if it goes down in value, he has to pay the $150 when they get divorced or if he dies. So here, the halacha is that not only does he not have to pay the $150, but even the actual suit itself, he doesn't have to give her. He took it in and it's going to be his. He doesn't have to give it back. Lo azel, neither on the first marriage or the second. No husband has to give either one of these things. If she took any of them without the will of the Beis Din, she has to leave to return them. Sometimes the halacha is like, if we say, if it's somewhat shaykh to be hers, we just say, not, you know, force it. You know, here you're forced to take it back. Vavlad, mamzer mizeh azel. The child is going to be a mamzer, whether we ascertain it was the first husband's child or the second husband child. And this is a chiddush, because the first husband's child, if the wife was impregnated by the first husband, the din should be that she should not be a mamzer, right? Because really the second one is just having bias nus, she was sota at worst, but definitely not a mamzer. So this, we're going to see bias on Rashi, that's a mamzer derabanan. The second one, though, that would be a mamzer deraisa. That would be that she ended up having a child with the second one, it'd be a shogeg, still mamzer deraisa, but still it would be a mamzer. So that's the second one is deraisa, the first one's derabanan. The Mishnah loops them together, but you should know one's different, one's derabanan, one's deraisa. Velo zemizem matamila. And now if any of their kohanim, they're not considered her husband, where they're right for the Isha, we learn that Zion Krovan, one of Zion Krovan is a wife, they're not allowed to be matamila for their wife. Velo zel zakim love matzias of lemay ser. Neither one of them is entitled to, if she finds anything, or her work, which is generally a part of the process of being married together, that the husband is entitled to these two things. Nope, they don't get it in this situation. They're not allowed to annul her vows. If she was a non-kohen, but she becomes a zona, because she had bia lepasula, she had bia with this man all those times, so therefore she becomes a zona. Bas Levi mina meiser. She's a Levi's daughter. She's disqualified from being a meiser. Normally, a zayna is allowed to eat if she's a bas levia. She's allowed to even be entitled to meiser rishon. Here, the rabbanon again penalized her that she's not allowed to eat. The gemara is going to get into this more of later. Bas kohen mina truma. That she's a kohen's daughter. She's possible from eating truma. Vein yorshin shel zevah yorshin shel yorshin is kuzbasa. Neither one of her heirs are going to inherit her ksuba. Wait, we just said there is no ksuba. The gemara is going to ask that. We'll get to that later. Vein mesu. If they died childless before divorcing her, achiv shel zevah achiv zeh cholzim liyamin. Each one of their brothers performs chalitza, but not but not Yibum. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, Ksubasa Nitzabai Larisha. No, her first husband, Taka, should be giving the, he disagrees with the Rabbanan. He says that they do not release her from his obligation to pay the Ksuba. He should have to pay the first husband should have to pay the Ksuba. Another Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar says, Harishan Zakam and Masyadeh Varsnareh. The first one is entitled to the, some that find, if she finds anything, and to things that she makes, or money that she produces, that she works for, that would be entitled, he would be entitled to that. Another Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon says, that the having Yibum or Chalitza with her brother, the first husband exempts her co-wife from Yibum and Chalitza. And the child, the first husband is not a mamzer. He disagrees with the Tanakama on both those points. That they're not mamzer midrabanan. And the case also, he says, that you would be allowed to do Yibum and Chalitza. But if she married without the court's willingness, Lachora, talking about the case where you have two witnesses where she doesn't need the court because it's Pashav two Alkpi Shneyadim Yakum Dovar. So she didn't feel like she needs to go to Basin Bichal. So what happens? She then should be permitted because two Adim is a full fledged assume that she doesn't have to look into it more. So therefore she could be really assumed that she was Shogeg Lagamre and she could go back to her first husband. That would be the halacha. And Nisei Alpi Basin, where she remarried with the court's halacha on the basis of the signal witness, halacha is Tetze. She must leave both of them, Uptura Mina Korban, and she is exempt from a korban chatas. Lo nisis al pi basin, however, she did not marry on the court's case. So then, teite, she must leave her new husband. Chayav mekorban, she would need to bring a korban chatas. Yav koach basin, in that case, the court has a big koach, shepatura min a korban, they exempt her from her chatas. Hura basin li nase, if the court ruled, permitted to remarry, v'alchav al-kilkala, she went and she had bia biznus. She just had a out of wedlock type of relations with people. So then, chayav es mekorban, sheloi tira el nase, because then she'd be chayav a korban chatas, because she had, it comes out, she didn't just have a bia of a promiscuity. She had bia eshazish. She was an eshazish, so that's chayv and a korban because they only allowed her to get remarried. So once she's not listening based in anyway, she doesn't have the yafek koch based in to remove the power of the chatas that she has to bring. So now the Gemara is talking about the original case in the Mishnah where they said that your husband dies. So Gemara says, the last part of the Mishnah seems to imply that she remarried without the court's permission, then she's allowed to remarry him, she's allowed to go back to her husband because it was al pishnei edim. So it says the Gemara's Medayik, Shalabrish was based in El Abedim. So that was only with the witnesses. Michlal, the Reish Shalabrish was based in. That implies that the kids Mishnah's first case, where they came and told their husband died, that was a remarriage with the based in and give her permission to get remarried. Uva Eidachad with one Eidachad. Alma Eidachad Eman Lachor, we see from over here, the Gemara's happening right now, and the level of the Reish, so that one witness is believed. So the Gemara, Tananami, we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to bring a raya for this, that one Eid can be believed. Huzagulios, Masin al Piedachad. And it became established that they were permit for marrying with one witness. Even from a woman, even the Gemara is assuming it's Lava Darabanan, that you're allowed to marry on one witness, or a woman, from even a slave or a shifcha. Even a single witness is believed to permit a woman to remarry. We learn in the Mishnah increases, tells us, if one witness says you ate chalev by accident, you have to bring korban chatas, and the person says, no, I didn't, Pater is exempt from bringing chatas. So the Gemara brings this proof, the reason is because he said, I didn't eat it. How you stick mehman? If he didn't know, he says, then there's one believed, we see that one witness is believed over here. And these are halachas of Isser V'Hatar, we believe this aid. So the Gemara is like, how do I know that Gemara now, assuming it's a deraisa design up? We learn based on by a korban chatas, it says, ho de lav chatas. So the pasuk says, if his sin became known to him, the law showed you achirim, not that others make him aware of it. Yachalaf beishalim machshu yapatra. I would that he doesn't dispute it, that he should be patra from a korban. Tamalomar, ho de lav mikol makom. Ho de lav in any manner, the sin became known to him. Even if it was undisputed by one person, it's going to be the case. So Gemara says, echidami. So if it's two people who came and told him that he ate chalev, so pashut, and he doesn't dispute them, I want you to pashut, tell me that. So it must be that we're talking about a case where one witness came, and where he doesn't dispute him, he is going to be believed. And where he disputes him, he wouldn't be believed though. But we see that when he doesn't dispute him, he's believed. What do we see? That we see over here, the witness is believed on level deraisa to assume to be believed. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem will pick up the Gemara's rejection of this raya in tomorrow's daf.